Very good. All right, we will now call to order the January 8, 2019 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I have reviewed and approved the minutes of the December 11, 2018 meeting. Do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's agenda?
Yes, sir. Case number 9, SMG 11-18-128 at 407 University Boulevard is in compliance 1-7-2019. Case number 23, SMG 11-18-148 at vacant lot Pinewood Street, parcel 5212-01-00-0670, is compliance 12-11-18. Case number 31, SMG 01-19-13 at 926 North Wild Olive Avenue has been withdrawn. Case number 38, SMG 01-19-07 at 1320 Phillips Street is in compliance. I don't have a date. You know, Mark? 1-5-2019. And that's it.
Very good. So the cases you and I discussed were case numbers 6,
yes.
15,
yes.
28, and 30.
Yes.
All right, GEAC Site Investments Incorporated. Is anyone here for the respondent?
Say that again. Oh, we need to swear.
I'm sorry. Will all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
GEIC Site Investments, case SMG 12-18-163. Counselor, if you would please state your name for the record.
Angela Hendry, in-house attorney for GEIC Site.
All right, as I understand it, this matter has been continued from our December meeting, and so consequently we're trying to determine a compliance date. And, Counselor, do we have a proposed compliance date we want to suggest to the respondent?
Good morning, Mr. McKelvey. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. The inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that he really hasn't gotten any real updates from GEAC Seaside Investments. His perspective is that the compliance date, that this could be complied with by next cutoff. I would tender Mr. Stinson to address that further if you feel necessary.
Thank you. All right. Well, when last time we talked about this matter, it took up 2 pages of minutes. Mr. Stinson, you're of the opinion the respondent ought to be able to come into compliance by February 6th?
Good morning, Mr. Scully. John Stinson, Code Inspectors with the City of Daytona Beach. Yes, I do believe that they can come into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Let's hear from the respondent.
Good morning, Mr. McCullough.
Good morning. Tell me, we've been keeping the exterior up and that we haven't rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied the property.
It has remained vacant the entire time.
Very good. Okay. And what say GEA with regard to a compliance date?
We're asking for at least 2 months to rectify the issues in the notice.
What are the issues? What are the primary issues?
The primary issues are the flooring, the paint, the peeled paint. They're asking a repair of the damaged sidewalk, and that requires a lot of money to repair and possibly replace. And right now, the property is being tied up in current litigation, so GAC side
what
doesn't
kind
have
of litigation.
It's in the middle of a foreclosure.
Okay. Does that mean GEA is going to be bailing on me in 60 days
no,
from now?
No.
We're not going to have any compliance?
There will be no bailing. We're fighting for this property. We have a good stance in the case, but all the rents for the other properties, including 21 South, are being, you know, deposited in the court registry. Right now there's no rents, but if there was, it would be deposited and...
Are you talking about foreclosure over this specific property?
Yeah, for this property and also 2 other properties associated with 21 South.
Okay. So you're telling me in 60 days we'll have it all done?
Most would be done with exception of the sidewalk. The sidewalk looks like it's been done for aesthetic purposes. There's really... I don't exactly...
What's the beef with the sidewalk?
They're saying... Mr. Stinson would probably have to give you... would have to explain that. I don't think there's anything wrong with the sidewalk. It just looks like it's has minor cracks, but it's mainly for aesthetic purposes. There's similar properties nearby that have the same type of sidewalk.
And that sidewalk we're talking about?
Yes, and we've obtained a rental
that
license.
That sidewalk, you call that aesthetic cracks?
Well, we have obtained a rental license with this with the same sidewalk, so it hasn't changed since we had the rental license.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you those aren't aesthetic cracks, so we're past that now.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. And what sort of work has to be done? All right, we talked about the sidewalk. What kind of work has to be done inside?
The flooring, there's issues with the floorboards. Some of them may have to be replaced. The siding of the house, there's bricks that have been loose, and they need to be replaced as well. The biggest repair that we would have to do is the demolition of the balcony. We probably will have to remove that. If it can be salvaged, we'll try to salvage it, but that requires a contractor who will pull the necessary permits, and that takes time. So that is the beams connecting to the sidewalk, to the balcony.
Okay, you know, I would say this all looks like maintenance type stuff, but given the age of this house, is coming into compliance in 30 days realistic? And I'm not criticizing the city. I want to know because I'm getting ready to criticize the respondent because I'm a little uncomfortable with the notion that we're giving time out on something that's in the midst of a foreclosure, and I would hate to find out 60 days from now we haven't moved the needle at all as far as improving this property. So, anyway, it appears as though they're all maintenance issues, but it appears as though they're serious maintenance issues.
As far as the foreclosure status, this is the first I've heard of it. There is a lot of work to be done. However, this case did begin as a tenant complaint back in October. There's been a lot of back and forth communications between GEA, myself, and the rest of the city staff, and there's really no good reason why there's been no progress to this point.
All right, so we're mad.
I'm sorry?
So we're mad.
Well, I mean, this is an issue that needs to be resolved.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right, Counselor. What's going to happen over the course of the next 60 days if I'm feeling that generous?
GA will retain a contractor who will pull the necessary permits to demolish the balcony or possibly repair it so that it's in compliance.
And correct all the other violations.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by March 6, 2019, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And between now and then, we'll continue the current order that the exterior is to be maintained and that the property is not to be rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied until it's brought into compliance. Okay?
Thank you.
Good luck on that one. It's my understanding you also have another one here.
Yes.
All right, and now we're talking about SMG 011911, construction without permits at 507 Phoenix. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
The construction that was being done at the property did not require a permit.
So you want to contest the determination as to whether or not there's compliance?
I'm contesting that.
All right. Let's hear from the city. Mr. City Attorney, why do we need permits?
Mr. Fickelger, I will call the inspector, but the inspector notes the inspector is Steve Alderman, and Mr. Alderman indicates that we need the permits for a porch, roll roofing, or porch plywood resheet. Need the permits for deck roof supports. Need the permits for roll roof walking deck cover. And permits for concrete deck cover with tar under the roll roofing.
This respondent basically do some redesign and reconstruction all bundled up into one?
Yeah, that's kind of what we looked at and observed last.
And was the city ever provided any plans as far as the work that was going to be done?
I'd have to look to the inspector for that. I believe the answer is no.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Well, if you can come and address those questions for Master.
Sure. Good morning, Mr. Bekelja.
Good morning.
My name is Steve Alderman, Neighborhood Services Inspector for the City of Daytona Beach, and my credentials are on file. On 9/11/18, I responded to 507 Phoenix for no permits during a major overhaul and renovation. And while I was there, I met the crew leader, a guy named Rick. He was working on the stuff. I told him he had to stop, and they stopped. I posted it for a stop work order at that moment. And told him that they ended up needing to get a permit. He said he was working for the property manager, which ended up being Mr. Aberman. And that was the first time I even realized that this was part of the process. Now, as far as the permits, there's a roll roofing over top of a slab that's been tarred that's never been structurally engineered for support, and it's fairly healthy as far as the weight of it, as far as size. There's no permit for the deck supports, which have obviously been replaced. There's no permit for the roll roofing over top of the flat deck above it that's been supported, because when it attaches, a roll roofing attaches to a three-tab, which they did have a permit for, it also needs to be included in that. And also the walking deck supports for plywood under the base for framing, none of the framing has been permitted, and it's fairly extensive. The main one, though, is going to be for the concrete deck that has been poured, and I have no idea how it's been technically supported.
Very good. And, of course, the requirement for a permit is what? Any construction above and beyond?
Renovation, replacement, repairs, especially at this extent. And you can see flooring.
Especially on a commercial property. Especially
floor joists,
on a rental property.
Correct.
Okay. Counselor, what say you in response to the inspector's?
The repairs that were made had to do with a previous code case, which Mr. Fitzgerald
Excuse
handled.
Excuse me, are you telling me what I see in those photographs are repairs as opposed to new construction altogether?
We're not required to pull a permit if only I believe if it's less than 25% of the roof was repaired.
I'm going to save us some time. I find you in non-compliance.
Okay.
How much time is it going to take for them to come into compliance?
It's going to be extensive because of the weight-bearing concrete. And I can be honest with you, I've never seen a roll roofing as a walkway to an up to any house because it's not conducive to walking on. So there's a lot of things that are going to have to be removed. So at a minimum, I would suggest 2 months.
All right. What say the respondent?
We're requesting at least 3 months, but...
Okay, well, I'm going to do you a favor because I think you got a bigger mess here than you ever imagined. So I'm going to go ahead and continue this determination as to a compliance date to our next meeting, which will be February 12, 2019. And in the interim, the respondent can start looking into what all is going to be required with regard to the quantum of work they've undertaken already, much less what else they have in mind for this property. Because I suspect there are going to be a number of permits required, and I don't know to what extent there's going to have to be removal of whatever work's been done to enable engineers to see for themselves what's underneath. So that having been said, I'm going to postpone the determination of the compliance date to the February meeting, and in the interim, that property is not to be rented, utilized, or occupied until such time as this special magistrate has determined that it's in compliance. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just input one thing. Mr. Vicalja, it would seem that if we were to order her at least to have an application for permits, that would facilitate and accomplish the things in terms that you're asking for in terms of what route they plan to take, what they're going to do.
Well, I thought of that, but to be honest, I don't even think she's at a point to ask for a permit. I think some plans are going to have to be prepared and reviewed and approved before any contractor knows what he's going to be able to do, but that's fine. I can throw that in there.
But that's part of the application process. It won't be approved initially, but it'll be part of at least showing good faith that they're moving forward to accomplish permitting as necessary.
All right, I'll amend my previous order to further require that by February 6th of 2019, the respondent will have at least applied for whatever permits may be required to conduct the construction that's going to have to be done, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay. On February 12th, we're required to provide a progress report. So, wouldn't that be sufficient enough if we had an actual scheduled plan in lieu of a application for permits?
No.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Joseph T. Collier, Jr., and Thelma and Charles J. and Betty C. Thomas.
Good morning, Attorney Robert Robbins.
Good morning. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine. So that having been said, let's hear from the city first. Mr. City Attorney, why should I be fining these respondents?
Just a moment, Mr. McKelvey, kind of one caught up with your terms, which case we're talking about.
15.
Case 15, take your time.
Yeah, I think we need Mr. Jones.
Mark Jones.
Yeah.
My inspector stepped out just a moment, Mr. McKelvey.
A lot older than I was.
Me too.
I can shorten and help the court if you like.
I wish you would. Just tell me you're going to take care of it.
Well, we are going to take care of it.
I'm afraid I don't find you.
The situation right now is that the violations are caused by the tenants. I served them with a notice to terminate the tenancy that will occur on January 31st. I've talked to Mr. Jones. He's recommended that we continue this until the March docket to give me sufficient time to be able to evict them.
Does that sound good to you, Mr. Jones?
Sounds good to me. Mark Jones, Neighborhood Services, yes. Is fine with us. They're working towards getting the tenant evicted, and there was numerous violations that they're going to need time to correct.
All right. Then we will continue this matter to the March 12, 2019 meeting, if need be. Hopefully it'll be in compliance before then.
Hopefully I won't see you in here again.
Good to see you.
And are we actually amending, Mr. McKelvey? So we're amending to...
I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and be a little more formal here. I'll go ahead and order that we're going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 6, 2019 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Harborside Sunsets COA Incorporated.
Number 28.
Case number 28.
Your Honor, good morning. My name is Karen Wansutler. I'm the attorney for the Harborside Sunset Condominium Association. With me today is the licensed property manager, Mr. Mike Privett. Since the initial notice of violation, the association through its manager has been in constant contact with Officer Fitzgerald. The association does not dispute the notices of violation with one exception as it relates to responsibility for document issues. But since the initial notice, the association has, under the condominium act, will require to obtain at least 3 bids given the expense of the structural and aesthetic issues that are in play here. We've obtained 2 of the 3 in compliance with the statute and have proposed a special assessment schedule that will need to be imposed per the statute against the collective owners. This building was built in the 1970s. Some of the issues were then compliant, a missing railing here, a missing railing now. We can't simply replace. We have to replace all of the railings to come into current code compliance. I have for the city attorney pictures of some of the immediate work that we have done as far as any shoring up for structural issues, expenses on the fences, electrical, plumbing. We have taken what we could with our existing maintenance budget, but we are asking so that we can comply with both the code enforcement notice and the condominium act requirements for additional time to come back before the magistrate to show further progress with further funding under our belt. This is going to be a huge project. It's a 6-figure project. If we could come back as a continuation to the March 12th hearing to show further progress. Again, we're not disputing any of the efforts that need to be made, and I have a copy for either the investigator or the city attorney. I'm not certain if this would normally be handed to you, Your Honor, or to the clerk. It's photographed.
Hang on to it. You can hang on to that.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. So if we could come back in March to show further progress, that would be our request at this time, only because we do have to do the bidding process and the special assessment to get the funding underway.
Okay. First off, I find the respondent in noncompliance. So, counselor, they're suggesting this is going to be a long-term project. There are financing formalities they have to observe along the way under the Condominium Act. They're proposing they do all the above, won't have it done before March. They come back by March to give us a progress report, and theoretically, I suppose at that point, we can establish a compliance date. So what say the city to all that?
Agree, Ms. McKelja. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald, and he agrees as well that this will be a lengthy project. What we're thinking is for this March date, if they can come with a timeline, and then we'll be able to schedule
progress
reports along the way.
Since everybody seems to be in agreement, I will go ahead and continue the determination of a compliance date to our March 12, 2019 meeting after we've heard the progress report that the respondent's going to provide.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All good?
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Oh, you're about to talk. Sorry.
Come on up.
And, Your Honor, specifically with the timeline, we should have the general contractor and the general contractor scope of work already hired and ready to present. Hopefully the work will already be underway from the general contractor.
Okay. Have a seat. Come on up, ladies.
Hi. My name is Donna Louise Shea.
I'm Gertrude Huey.
And I have...
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth.
So help me God. I have lived in this building for 13 years. I'm going on 14 years right now. I have seen four different management companies come through. The people we have presently are scum. I live in a dilapidated building. The windows, they're moldy, they leak. These gentlemen have been out there and have helped us over the last couple of years. These people have done nothing in the last couple of years. This is our third time here. I'm upset because I'm paying them and I'm living in a dump. I'm a cancer patient and I'm tired of being abused. I don't know what my options are. I don't know what to do.
You're going to leave.
That's my plan for January of 2020. That's when my lease will be up.
You answer me. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. You can leave.
But can I leave without getting in trouble, considering I signed a two-year lease this last time?
No, that's a question I suppose you probably have to ask an attorney. If you're telling me the place isn't habitable, and I'm not trying to give armchair legal advice here, then you might have something to talk about. So if you can't afford an attorney, go over to Central Florida Legal Services, see if they'll appoint someone that you can at least sit down and have a conversation with.
Go to who?
Well, Central Florida Legal Services is one of them.
Okay.
And you can also go to the Volusia County Law Library over there at the Circuit Courthouse on the second floor. And I believe they refer you to, I don't know what they're called anymore, lawyers who don't charge much just to sit down and chat with you for a while.
Okay.
So what you're really talking about, though, is apples and oranges as far as what I do here. I'm here just trying to get them to come into shape. You're talking about what your legal rights are for how they've tortured you for the last 13 years. Those are two different conversations.
Yeah,
and I'm not
yeah.
trying to sound callous or no. unconcerned. It's you that you need to take that up with on your own.
I have over the years, and they've only been there now for maybe 4 years, and I have gone to try to get help. It's just the problem with where we live is, like they say, it's condominiums. Not very many of them are condominiums. Most of them are apartments paying. I mean, very few people that live there are condominiums. I don't know why they call them condominiums. I mean, I have no idea.
I don't know. Maybe one person owns 10 condominiums and they rent them out. Here again, I'm sorry, but that's beyond my purview.
Right.
But they're obviously in front of the special magistrate now.
Which is new,
we're here to bird dog them to make sure they do what they're supposed to do.
Okay.
If you want to be a constructive gadfly, then report to the inspectors what you see along the way if you don't think they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they know us.
That's kind of what I wanted to say because like repairs that are being made for, you know, you saw in the images there's metal beams that are missing, and now they're being supported by wood, things like that. And it just feels like a past-tip job. Like,
well, there's your inspector right there, and if you have questions about the integrity of the work that they're doing,
he's the man to communicate them to. And then if you don't feel as though Mr. Fitzgerald is giving you the attention you deserve, and I'd be surprised if that were the case.
They're awesome. We love them.
Then you come back here and you tell me yourself.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your time.
Not a problem. Good luck to you. Good luck to all of you. Were we done with that one now? Okay. All right. 341 Fulton Street, Raymond A. Brewster. You owner is Albert L. Brewster. Anyone here for the respondent? We have someone. Doesn't look like Raymond or Albert.
I'm Elena Scott. I'm Mr. Brewster, Mr. Albert Brewster's real estate agent. Yeah.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. We are here for a lien review. And as I understand the circumstances, the respondent... I'm sorry, your name again?
Elena Scott. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. And Ms. Scott is presenting herself to us as the agent for the respondent. Mr. Attorney, is that satisfactory to you?
Satisfactory, Mr. Chauvin.
Okay, very good. Then we'll continue on. And as I understand the saga here, previous owners, the one that got in trouble with the city, didn't do the work, ran up the fine,
correct,
culminated in a lien.
Yes, sir.
New owners here going, woe is me, look what I bought into. This just
yes,
doesn't,
sir, in a nutshell.
This just doesn't seem right. You should let me off the hook completely. Notwithstanding that the city of Daytona Beach has dealt with this property, a property the respondent now owns, for a long time. So, let's start with the city. What does the city have to propose, if anything?
Ms. Vakelja, your assessment is right in terms of the status. That the history of this property is one where the city had some major problems. The new owner has owned this property, though, since 2016. They did start some work, gutted it, and so forth, but then left it hanging. So it's kind of been in a
I'm sorry, state. Left it what?
Without completion.
Okay.
And so it's been in a state of waiting.
Perpetual disrepair.
Yes. And so, however, the city acknowledges that, for the most part, it was kept up externally.
Okay, is that a photo of it being kept up externally?
Old pictures. Those are not new pictures.
Okay.
So for the most part.
Thought it was a jungle movie.
And okay. We have talked to Ms. Scott about the position and desire of the city. There's two cases, Lien Review 1 and Lien Review 2. Both are regarding this property. And with Lien Review 1, it was addressed as part of the a tax deed sale. We were able to get some proceeds.
We have two 15,000 fines.
Yes.
Fines on this property. Am I misreading that photograph, or is that house the size of a postage stamp?
It's about 1,000 square feet.
1,000 square feet. Okay.
So clearly, something we weren't happy with, and
obviously.
And as you can see, the lien review one, the amount that's remaining on that is $3,271.19. Lien review two is still due in full. What the city is requesting is we're looking at this at 18,300. The city is asking that this be reduced, or offering for a request that this be reduced to $7,500, which basically is waiving the initial lien one and asking for 50% at lien two. on this other issue as well. And that's based upon our discussion with Ms. Scott that this property is currently under contract, pending sale, so we're offering this as a condition of the sale only. So if indeed the property is being sold and nothing else is going to be done, we can live with that, and that foreclosing we would remedy that with the anticipation that this new owner will get back on board with making this property available for its best use.
All right, I didn't understand something. The respondent who's asking for the relief has been in ownership and possession of the property since 2016?
That's correct.
When was the property finally brought into compliance?
I'd have to look to the code division. I believe that...
Well, let me answer my own question. December 17, 2018. So this respondent is not a new entry to the real estate market here in Daytona Beach who just bought a property only to find out he's straddled with a lien. This gentleman has owned this property for the accrual of 2 years' worth of fines, or did the fines accrue before he bought the property?
They accrued before. He's an out-of-state investor. And...
Didn't know about these
costs of investment, the responsibility to take care of property, and the consequences of liens. So we understand that. But he did acquire, and as far as the perspective of staff, is that once he did acquire it, that's when whatever improvement we've seen on the property, that's when that improvement was there.
Can I show you a picture of...
Hang on a second. Does the property still look like these photographs I'm seeing?
I was trying to show you. There's the front. I have others, but that's the front.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Denzel Sykes, Neighborhood Services Manager. My credentials are on file. No, the property is in compliance. The windows are newly installed, continue to be boarded up. The exterior of the building, as you see in the photos, have siding now. Everything was permitted. And also the landscape is cut and is being maintained. I have newer photos, but we had some technical issues with loading them up. That's why they're not here. But the exterior is being maintained. And that was the original photo, what you're looking at now.
Okay. All right. What say Ms. Scott?
Well, Mr. Brewster bought this at a tax auction. This is his first venture into doing this real estate. And he happens to have the same name as a previous owner. I don't know if that has anything to do with the confusion, but he's not related to or does not know Raymond Brewster. He bought a tax auction at the advice of a friend. The friend was going to help him fix it up. They did get the outside cleaned and painted and fixed, and that back room's been, that's not what the back room looks like now. It's all sided, like Mr. Denzel said. And he fell ill. His helper, who talked him into buying this, took a job out of town, and he's got this much money in the place and nobody to finish him. So he's now battling cancer. He lives in Virginia. We put the property up for sale. I think a realtor had it before me, but I don't know if it was fixed to this point. And they found out that we had to do a quiet title suit. So he hired an attorney to do that, $3,400, and 4 months later. Then he found out about these liens when we got a contract and the title search was done. I didn't know about the liens previously either, but as a realtor, I wouldn't necessarily pull those records. We found that out. We contacted the city, came into compliance, all this time having it under, you know, having it listed, and people wanting to buy it and fix it up as the street is, you know, coming, an up-and-coming street, so a lot of the house has been remodeled. And we have lots of buyers that want to buy it and fix it up, but this gentleman is out of money, not well, wants to move on. So we're asking for all the help we can get so he can move on.
All right. And what would you propose?
Well, the least we he has $50,000 in it and has it listed for $47,000. So he's losing money already. And then if we have to be asked to pay that fine, then I don't know how much he's capable of paying, honestly.
When's this thing supposed to close?
February. This newest contract I just got yesterday is February 1st.
And what's it selling for?
At 40. Much less than he would like to take it. You know, much like.
Is there a mortgage on it?
No. He bought it at tax auction, yeah.
The property is now in compliance.
Yes.
And who are we selling this house to?
This is a Anthony Ragamisi. He lives here in the area, paying cash, and wants to fix it up, like get in there and fix it up immediately. I have others offers and backup, so I mean, people want to buy it. They just, as soon as I disclose that there's a lien, they want to wait until the lien is taken care of. So.
Okay. Well, considering, all right, and I'm still not clear, the total amount, lien.
$18,295.19 for both.
For both. All right, I'm going to go ahead and reduce the liens on case lien review 1 and case lien review 2. To the sum of $1,500, subject to being paid within 30 days. If your closing doesn't happen within 30 days, notify the city attorney. He'll work with you. If that $1,500 isn't paid within 30 days, the original lien remains in place.
So that's got to be paid whether the contract happens or not?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hang on a second.
That'll make this sale happen.
I'm still thinking.
Thank you.
Hang on. Your owner plans on selling it, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
To be honest, I don't want your owner staying around
No. And
having this property anymore.
No, he...
Because I've not been particularly impressed with his maintenance over the last 2 years. I've heard all of his excuses. That's fine. But my hope is that some new family is going to move into this house.
Yes, sir.
Take a little pride in it and make it something worth.
Absolutely.
That we can all appreciate.
That's what we all want.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Laversia Anthony. Anyone here for the respondent? Or Laversia Anthony? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city? Roofing without a permit, peeling paint, junk boat.
Ms. McKelter, the inspector in this case is Cliff Reckinson. This is before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. Reckinson reports that nothing's been done. He's requesting $100 fine. $100 per day fine to a maximum of $10,000. This is owner-occupied property.
It's owner-occupied?
Yes.
All right. Based on the presentation by the city attorney, noting the absence of the respondent, I'm going to order the respondent be fined the sum of $100 per day, commencing January 3, 2019, and that fine will continue to accrue until such time as the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000. Case number 2, Sheila A. Minnick, Dillon Property Management.
Sheila A. Watson, 132 Harpers Ferry Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32119.
Morning.
Avinash Ramatard, owner of Dillon Property Management, LLC.
Abraham, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine since the respondent failed to come into compliance by January 2. So let's hear from our inspector in the city first.
Ms. McKelgen, inspecting this case is Strom McCoy. This is before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. McCoy reports that this property, the only thing that they're waiting for, the new owner's been doing everything he needs to do. They're waiting for the permit to final. So with that being the case, what we're asking is that it be amended to the next cutoff so that they can have the inspection and get the permit final.
What say the respondent to that?
That is the case, Your Honor. We just had a zoning issue where the back property was zoned commercial and the front property was residential. So the contractor had an issue pulling a residential garage door permit. So
all right.
Just a little bit.
Then I, based on the stipulation of the parties, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 6, 2019 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you. Case number 3, Fred J. Hoffman, trustee.
Ms. McKelger, you probably saw Mr. Hoffman here a little earlier. The inspector, after meeting with him and looking into just a couple of matters, has determined that indeed the property is in compliance, and so we're announcing that it's in compliance.
Case number 3 is in compliance?
For today's date, yes.
Pardon?
Yes, for today's date.
So in compliance as of 1-8-19?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Case number 4. L.A. Phillip Incorporated, or perhaps it's La Phillip Incorporated.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good
if you would
morning.
Please state your name and be sworn.
Alec Afghani.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Let's hear from the city first.
Ms. Fakaja, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. Stinson reports that the respondent is working on, he's been working in good faith. He feels, he believes that he should be able to have it done by next cutoff and asking that we amend to the next cutoff.
All right. Let's say, Mr. Afghani, the city is suggesting you ought to be able to have this done by March 6th.
I think we'll be ready for them. By that date.
Very
March
good.
6th.
Then I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 6, 2019 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Margaret Ellen Everwine, case number 5. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Do we have any new information?
Yes,
actually. Okay. Okay, so you'll come up and tell it. Okay. Ms. McKelter, this case is before you for progress report. The inspector is Mr. Stinson. You may recall this is one where the respondent is getting some assistance from a program called VIND, I believe, V-I-N-D. And,
what's it called again?
VIND, I guess, V-I-N-D. Fine. Okay. Anyway, the inspector is John Stinson, and Mr. Stinson indicates he has information that he can provide as far as progress report.
Good morning, Mr. Scalzo. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. I did have a message from a property owner yesterday. She's hospitalized now. So obviously she can't do anything right this minute. My site inspection or re-inspection of the property yesterday still shows the roof in disrepair. There is outside storage and junk vehicle as well.
We still have the outside storage and the junk vehicle?
Yes, sir.
Why?
She hasn't removed it.
And who's helping her? Some outfit called Find?
Find. Mm-hmm. And that is.
I guess that doesn't stand for fix it now, dummy.
No, they're only assisting her with the repair of the roof. The other things that need to be corrected are solely on the owner.
All right. I've heard my progress report. So what, if any, relief is the city looking for?
Yes, I did last month. Yeah. That's correct.
So we're
leave the compliance date.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to leave the compliance date for next month, next cutoff.
And what's going to happen next month? Find is going to tell us their backlog, so they don't have anything to say about the roof.
That's possible.
And the outside storage and the junk vehicle are still going to be there? Let me try it this way. If you were a betting man based on the owner's performance to date, what's going to change between now and then?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Well, you know, it's kind of aggravating. It just seems like cleaning trash out of the property and removing a junk vehicle. I mean, I suppose there's no chance the city can do that and finer or leaner for it.
Officer Jesper, and I was sworn. I know we were trying to work with this owner, but in lieu of the circumstances, I can at least take care of the junk vehicle by the next hearing. So the outside storage and the roof, I'll leave with these guys, but I can take care of the junk vehicle.
Well, great. And let's please make sure that the property owner ends up paying for this some way or somehow.
Well, if she wants to get the vehicle back, she'll have to.
10-4. All right, thank you. Okay, so that aside, we just wait till February 6th to see if we're in compliance.
Yes.
And we keep our fingers crossed. All right, case number 7, 314 Aura Investors of Florida, LLC. Failure to obtain a rental license. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Donald Harkins.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine for the respondent failing to come into compliance by January 2. Let's see what the city has to say about all this.
Ms. McKelton, the inspector in this case is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this respondent needs to get a rental license. He's failed 3 times in inspections on this effort. Even though Mr. Jones has him rescheduled again for the 10th, he believes that this has been going on since May of 2018. Mr. Jones is asking that we impose a fine of $100 a day to a maximum of $15,000.
All right, why do we keep failing this inspection?
I'd have to send to Mr. Jones.
We re-inspected the property on December 31st. And it had numerous items that from the original inspections, and we were able to get into the third unit. All 3 units are rented. I did get a call yesterday afternoon late that they are ready for a re-inspection, and the earliest we could do it was the 10th. But past inspection did not show that they corrected everything, so that's why we're looking for a fine.
What kind of things are we talking about? Just give me an example.
Smoke detectors, windows that didn't open, screens that were not operable. I don't have the whole list in front of me.
I understand.
But nothing of a major issue except the smoke detectors would be a safety issue.
All right. What say the respondent?
Well, I just want to say that we just took the property over as the rental managers on November 1st. So a lot of this stuff was with the previous management company. We've been trying to do our best to get everything into compliance. Our maintenance guy was supposed to have this all done, and we met with Mark, and he didn't have it done. It was smoke detectors, some windows. There was a problem with getting some of the window equipment in, and with the holiday, Daytona Windows was closed. He couldn't do it, so... He was supposed to be, he's told me it's in compliance now. So they have a reinspection scheduled for Thursday, right, Mark?
Correct.
Okay. But I'm respectfully requesting that a fine not be imposed until after the reinspection.
I'm going to allow the respondent until March 6, 2019 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will automatically go into effect and will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of, is it $15,000? Of $15,000. I'm sorry, February 6, 2019. February 6, 2019. So, you go light a fire under whoever you need to light a fire under, because if there's no notice of compliance sitting in this file by February 6, you're not going to hear or see from us again. The $100 fine's just going to start accruing. So, I would urge you to make sure nobody drops the ball. Corporate gets the memo circulated. The property manager gets off his duff and actually does the work, or the maintenance guy does the work, because these folks are aggravated. And I'll hear you out on the additional time, because you're telling me you're the new man on the block. You got till February 6th. Failing that, the fine's automatically going into effect.
Understood, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 10, Orman Breeze LLC trustee. Good morning.
Good morning. Casey Monahan. Yes, ma'am.
Is it Ms. Monahan?
Yes.
And what is your affiliation with Orman Breeze LLC trustee?
I actually just started as a job there, so they.
Pardon?
I just started working there as a job for manager.
Working there at a job is what now?
For managing.
Okay. All right. Well. Right now, your new employer is being cited for failure to obtain a rental license and is facing the imposition of a fine. So let's hear from the city and see what they have to say.
Ms. McKelcher, this one is not as long, but the same circumstance. The inspector is Mark Jones. This has been since August of 2018. There's been two failed inspections. Mr. Jones hasn't even heard from him about scheduling a new inspection, and he's asking for a $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000.
A maximum of what now?
$15,000.
All right. Let's say Ms. Monahan. They want to fine you $100 a day, starting January 3.
We were actually just looking for a 30-day extension.
Who's we?
Me and the other property manager, Sean.
Sean.
Yes, sir. And I guess what was going on was that he believed everything was completed, and in late December of 2018, he ordered the inspector come out. When he did, when Inspector Jones came out, he informed us that the electrical outlets that he had installed were not the kind he wanted, and he, I guess, admitted it specified prior. And he brought up the fit of the window screens, which in the prior inspection, I guess, was not questioned. But the other manager believes that everything can be done within the 30-day period. The only problem is the tenants right now are making it a little difficult because of being uncooperative. We've been trying to schedule appointments to get in, and they cancel on us. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
What say the city?
I'll tend to Mr. Jones just so he can give you an actual update of what
I'm feeling as though I'm being vicariously blown off.
I did go ahead and inspect the property. They called for an inspection on January 4th. It did fail again because the GFI and one, they did not install a GFI outlet in the bathroom in one unit. The other unit, they hadn't even had open wires. He was at the time trying to install an outlet, but again, not a GFI. He did have a problem with the GFI outlet in the kitchen.
Who's he?
The Sean was physically
Sean.
Doing, the property manager was physically doing the work. And they did have some screens that were noted on the original inspection that had not been corrected.
All right, so what's left to be done?
The three GFI outlets have to be corrected, and there were a couple of window screens that needed to be redone.
And we know this property is occupied.
One unit is occupied, one unit is not at this time.
Okay. All right, anything else?
No, that was it. Sorry, this is my first time doing this.
That's all right, not a problem. All right, well, let's report back to Sean that if this work isn't taken care of by February 6th, a fine in the amount of $100 per day is going to go into effect, and it will continue automatically to accrue each day thereafter until it has reached the sum of $15,000 or the property has been brought into compliance.
Okay.
So somebody needs to take the bull by the horns and get this wrapped up to that man's satisfaction once and for all.
Okay. So February 6th, and if it's not by then, automatic.
$100 per day fine will automatically go into effect. All somebody needs to do is get over there, take care of what needs to be done, contact the inspector so he'll put a notice of compliance in the file, and that's the end of it. That notice of the compliance doesn't arrive in this file before February 6th, then the $100 a day fine starts to run.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you. Case number 12, Rudine W. Davis as trustee.
Rudine W. Davis, 868 Magnolia Avenue, Daytona Beach. I do.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Let's see what the city has to say. Mr. City Attorney, what's the status of compliance, and where are we on a fine?
Ms. McKelvey, the inspector is Mark Jones. This was first notified back in January of 2018, a year ago. The property remains in noncompliance. It's an issue about windows. The respondent has said she's had problems getting a worker or contractor, but it's been a year. So the inspector is requesting $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000. Turn to Mr. Jones if you have any questions.
All right, I'm hearing a theme about windows. Is there a problem out there with windows these days?
During this rental inspection, there was a couple windows that were not operable. The owner back in July had a contractor or had someone replace the windows without a permit. And where we stand today, they had applied for a permit. The inspector came out, the building inspector, and the windows were not what was required per the permit. They were not impact windows as they stated on the permit. I don't know if Ms. Davis has some new information in regards to that, but that's been going on since July.
Okay. Ms. Davis, they're suggesting I fine you $100 per day for your failure to come into compliance because you haven't taken care of these matters. What say you to that?
As of yesterday, I received this email from the city stating that the permit had been revised. And it was from a Melissa Cotter, permit technician.
What does that mean?
It means that I have, the windows were already in by the person we had hired to do whatever else work we needed to have done, who was licensed. But we didn't know we had to have a permit from the city to do this. When we finally got a contractor to do the permit, he put impact windows on them. And windows in were not impact windows. So we've been trying to get the permit revised as we finally got it taken care of.
So the permit has been revised to delete the impact windows?
Yes.
So now we think we'll be able to install those windows and then we'll be in compliance.
The windows are in.
All right, Mr. Inspector, is any of that making any sense to you?
Yes. I mean, if she has now got the permit revised, I guess we'll be waiting for the building inspector to go back out and approve it. I mean, it still will require a building inspector to sign off and finalize the permit.
And how much time is all this going to take?
Well, if they have the permit revised, they will need to call, the contractor will need to call for an inspection, and typically that is the next business day the inspector goes out. He will then either pass the windows or fail them.
All right, so the next step, we got our permit revision, so now the next step is the contractor installs them, and then we get it inspected.
Yeah, the windows were already installed without a permit.
Windows are already installed, so the permit revision should be it.
Well, it should be if the inspector comes out and approves it. If that's the case, once that is approved, this case will be closed.
Be done. All right. Okay. I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until February 6, 2019, to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $50 per day will be imposed and will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Okay, so, all right, I'm glad you got your permit revision. I hope I have just incentivized you to see to it that this work gets done, the inspector gets called, the paperwork gets taken care of, and all this is done once and for all before February 6th. Because if somebody drops the ball, then a $50 fine will automatically go into effect after February 6th. So I just urge you to stay on top of this until it's done once and for all.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Case number 13, JNG Property Group, LLC. Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Mr. Kelly, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this property has failed several inspections. He's had no further contact from the respondent since 12-10, unless something's changed. And he's requesting a $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000. No attendant, Mr. Jones.
Okay, based on the city's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I'm fining the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing January 3, 2019. And continuing to accrue each day thereafter until such time as the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. How many people do we have here for actual cases? What's y'all's case numbers? 24. 39. 41. We have a winner. Is that it? So we have four live bodies here? All right. Case number 24, come on up. Okay, June, if you'll remind me, we need to return to case 16.
Okay.
When I'm done making things totally confusing.
All right, so we went to case number
24, Bulldog LLC.
Chris Cornelius, 290 Golden Saddle Lane, Ormond Beach. Yes.
Okay, Bulldog LLC is here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector, Danny Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the respondent has been working in good faith towards compliance. He's asking that Mr. Garcia believes that it will take an additional couple of months. And that's the request of the respondent as well. The March cutoff date would be sufficient, so we're asking that it be amended to the March cutoff.
Let's say Mr. Cornelius to that.
Yeah, that should be good.
All right. With regard to case number 24, Bulldog LLC, I will order our current order of noncompliance to be amended to allow the respondent until March 6, 2019 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Case number 33.
Darren Gingras, 128 Oak Drive, Altamont Springs, Florida, 32714. I do.
Yes, sir. What is your affiliation with New Leaf Real Estate, LLC?
I'm the owner.
You're the owner. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I do, yes.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take the respondent to come into compliance?
I have a secondary. This is not as simple as a lack of rental license. There's a lot going on at the property that needs to be brought into compliance. I currently have a plan via the TRT team for the city, and I have scheduled on the 10th an inspection for boundary survey. Our attempt is to combine the lots, which will allow the city to grant those licenses. So I can't do anything until I get those surveys done and get them in the hands of my contractor and get all that taken care of.
All right, Mr. Inspector, I'm sorry, what's your last name?
Gingras.
Gingras?
Yes.
Mr. Inspector, have you had a chance to speak to Mr. Gingras before?
I have not personally talked with him. He did, I believe, communicate via email that he was attempting this progress. I believe that was back in the 1st of October.
When the process first started.
Yeah. But I haven't heard anything from the
Apparently owner. Apparently he has plans for the property.
Yes.
All right. Can you describe them again for our inspector's benefit in 25 words or less?
The plan is to bring the current units on the property into compliance. Right now we have issues with the driveways. There's not enough parking on each individual lot as compared to the units on the individual lots. The city recommended I get these surveys done and attempt to merge the parcels, which would allow me to create the driveways elsewhere on the property, which will give me the parking I need. That's my main issue right now, and until these inspections, until the surveys are done and plans are drawn up, I'm at a standstill.
Is parking one of the violations that you had?
No, this case was opened due to a case from a police officer because 319 did not have a rental license. He was there on another issue, and he forwarded the information on to us. I was not involved with the other two properties. This was just dealing with 319 Taylor.
Okay. Are you aware that you need a rental license?
I am aware of that now. I did apply for that rental license. It was denied due to the situation with the units, and after meeting with the TRT team, there was a whole list of other...
You're telling me it was denied due to the parking issues?
No, the license was denied because I applied for a number of units that the city does not recognize. There are units on the property that are not in compliance, and I'm attempting to bring them into compliance. The issue that I was told is A, parking. There's also some water meters that need to be updated. I would have to be honest with you, I have a list right here from the city. The next step is the boundary surveys, and I know nothing, to be honest with you, until those surveys happen and until the city tells me what I can do. The most right. information
How
I have
How much time were you going to suggest the respondent take to come into compliance?
I do not know the length of the process that he's trying to go through. That is information that I don't have. I would not be objectionable to asking for a progress report next month so we know at least what's going on.
And your complaint was just the absence of the...
just the absence of one rental license at 319.
Okay.
What happened was when he applied for all three of the properties.
All right. All right. Sounds like your issues with the property go beyond what we're concerned with, but nevertheless, I'm sure it's impacted. So why don't you just come back next month and give us a progress report and tell us where we stand.
I do have a bit of a time frame information for you. I have an email right here from the inspectors that will be doing the surveys. They're looking to get out there on the 10th, this Thursday, and they are saying that it's going to be at least 3 weeks before those plans are handed over to me. At that point, I have to give them to my general contractor, which will be in contact with the city to pull permits and to do whatever else is necessary based on those plans. We're looking at least a month before I have this in the hands of the general contractor.
To do what?
Before I have the surveys in the hands of the general contractor, he has to draw up plans for driveways. He has to draw up plans for the plumbing that the TRT...
Is all of this needed to get the rental license?
From my understanding, all of this is needed to bring the number of units I have on the property into compliance, and I will not gain a rental license until those units are in compliance. That's my understanding of this.
Okay, well, I'm seeing some head nodding here and there, so it sounds like what he's saying has some credence to it. I'm not understanding much of it.
Well, what he has is three individual properties.
That's not true.
They're not individual?
There are two individual parcels. And there's one parcel with three individual buildings on it. The other parcel has a single building on it. It's a complex property.
Well, my understanding of the original situation was that 319 was an individual property.
319 is its own property.
Guys, time out. Are we in agreement that the rental license is being held up or can be held up until he gets these other issues resolved?
The rental license for 319 is being held up because he is trying to combine properties
okay. So
he can have more rental units than the other two.
All right.
319 was a freestanding.
That's his prerogative. Forget about it.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to continue any further determination in this matter until the February 12th meeting, at which time you're going to come give us a progress report on where we stand on all this. Hopefully we'll have a little more clarity as to what's happening, and perhaps we can interject a compliance date.
Is there any chance we could move that to March with the condition that I provide the city with the surveys, that as soon as I have them in hand, I am required to send them to the city? You know, I guess that would
Does
be a
anybody
status update.
Here understand what he's talking about?
Yes, sir.
What you're dealing with the city, that's another department. So yeah. Really, I know it's holding up some of this process, but it's not part of this process. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
If you are occupying a property, you're renting it, you're required to have a rental license.
Yes, sir.
If you don't have rental license, technically, you don't have rental license. You got to work through that process.
Understood.
Does that make sense? So yeah. Any communication you have with the city on that end doesn't really affect here. You can update the inspector when you receive communication with them
okay.
So that they can come in here and speak on your behalf. But at the end of the day, they're two different parts of the city. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Does that clarify some of what you're saying?
It does. The only thing that concerns me is he tells us he's being told by the city that he's not going to have a rental license. until these other matters are resolved. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. There we go. All right. Sounds like I'm going to have a progress report, and I don't care who gives me the progress report. So you stay in touch with these people, and they report back. Everyone's been in communication with one another, and it's all fine, Mr. Special Magistrate. Go about your business. That's fine with me.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, case number 39. Mary F. Yan.
Yes, sir.
Are you Mary F. Yan?
No, sir. I'm the property manager. I'm the one that has the answer for it, but
okay, well, let's start off with who you are.
Noble Gathers.
Noble Gathers?
Yes, sir. I had introduced myself a time before, but it was on a different property, but it's under the same thing.
Okay. And you're managing this property for Ms. Yan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Do you agree the are you satisfied, Counselor?
I'm satisfied. And although in a prior proceeding he swore that he was an owner, but either way, he has the authority. I'm satisfied.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
I find the respondent noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
The inspector, Mark Jones, Mr. Jones reports it should take by next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Mr. Gathers, the city says you ought to be able to have this in compliance by February 6th. What say you to that?
Yes, sir, I will. The only reason we didn't have a rental license was because another property that's on Reaver Street, I had a tenant I was trying to evict, and she was holding me up where I could. I mean, it was nothing I could do with it, and until I brought that into compliance,
all right,
I couldn't get the rental license. But it's already, Mr. McCoy, he already signed off on that. I got that in compliance. I got the people out. I got it cleaned up in this other part, and that's
all
the
right.
Only thing I needed, and I guess.
Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Case number 41, Enos LLC.
Good morning. My name is Jean Krug. Yes, I do.
What is your affiliation with Enos LLC?
Yeah, the first of all, I don't agree this failure to make a correction.
Hang on a second.
Because the first.
Hang on. What is your association with the court?
I'm the owner.
All right, very good. Now, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, the violation, yes.
Hang on. Time out. All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Now, wait 1 second. Mr. City Attorney, how long should it take for her to come into compliance?
Ms. McCall to the inspectors, Mark Jones, Mr. Jones reports. She should be able to come into compliance by next cutoff. It's regarding property that was a duplex that was not recognized. It didn't have the rental license, and it should be able to be obtained.
Okay. All right. Is it Ms. Krug?
Yes.
All right. There you go. Now, what do you want to say?
This house I purchased last year, 2017, October or August. But about it, because they lot of damage by hurricane, so the place owner doesn't have insurance, so he just sell it. I thought for me, I just beginning for investment. I thought maybe this is a good investment, so I purchased and found a contractor until the fixed roof until August 2018. So I just put the rent there August. So I heard they said need a license. So I immediately get a license. And then that's almost November, end of November, I said, oh, this house is a violation. I said, what's a violation? But Mr. Mark Jones told me this is a single house. So I said, because there is another side, when I purchased the house, already have tenants there. The previous owner has more than, have this owned this house more than 10 years, like this way. So I mean, in a single house in the middle, they just block. But for me, I said, oh, okay. So I went to the appraisal, city appraisal. The appraisal, they presented is a two-family house. So I immediately called the rental and the house carrying. I said, can you, I need time to, do you think this build this way or this single house? And then, she said, backwards, I left a message and called both of them, no response. But finally, got time, she told me this is a single house, the something. I said, why the appraisal in the city appraisal, the website, they said two family. And she explained to me, I said, can I share the information? And she did not, you know, she doesn't want to give me. So I went to the building department and go to the public record to get the original building department. What's original? It's all of this about take time. If I told them, I left the message, if this is a violation, I immediately make a correction. I immediately go to pay the, immediately, maybe before the letter come to me, I already pay the license and pay the rental license. I respond always a positive way to just continue. Immediately gave me immediate response, but I need to take time to evict eviction the tenants who, that's a lady who lived there for more than 2 months, did not pay anything. I need time to eviction. I need time to do investigation. This house, what original looks like.
Is the house occupied now?
It's occupied by one renter. I October just put in. So now Mr. Manju asked me to find the need to convert to the single house. I said, no problem. I will do it. I just take time, you know. I interview 3-4 contractors because during the holiday it's so busy, everyone is busy. I call him and call Karen. No any response. I got a constant get a letter asking me this in violation. I told them, I said, I know I needed to make a correction immediately, but why did this, the whole so happen is so just the,
all right, hang on for one second. All right, Mr. Jones,
I'm
gathering from somewhere in here we're having to convert this from a duplex to a single-family home?
Correct. The complaint started, it was a tenant-driven one because it has one air conditioning unit doing both sides of the property, and the one tenant was not able to control whatever the other tenant did, turning the thermostat up or down. When I went out there, there was no record for a business tax license or a rental license. I met with both tenants, then notified the property owner that the property was only licensed to be a single-family residence. Somewhere along the way, someone had made it, closed off a wall and made it into a duplex. And I told her she would have to go back to being a single-family or seek other remedies if she could get a variance or something for it.
And so that is the work that's going to have to be done to come into compliance.
Correct.
You think should be done by the 6th?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ms. Krug, are you going to have this work done by the 6th?
By what 6th?
February 6th. The city inspector is telling me you ought to be able to remove a wall, which I guess will then make you eligible for your rental license by February 6th.
I sent the contract last week, but you know, every contract now, so far they have 5 projects. I try, you know, I don't know, February 6th, I don't know, at least 2 months, is that okay? I respond very positive because the contractors, they are very busy now. He told me he has 5 projects now.
How many tenants do you have on the
only
property?
One now.
All right. Are you going to keep it at only one?
Yes.
You're not going to rent out the duplex anymore?
No. Only keep one.
I don't mind.
I want to I want her to move out as soon as possible because I just signed the lease with her. So I just try to, you know, arrange, you know, because just signed the lease in October 1st. Just to put in.
I got lost there at the end.
So I just signed the lease with this lady. She's the only one who lives there now. So this single house, still only one tenant there. Another one, I just...
Okay, well, I think what Ms. Krug is trying to explain to me is that she's not certain when her contractor is actually going to make it out there to do this. And so she's suggesting perhaps 60 days would be more reasonable.
Yeah.
I might be inclined to take that into consideration as long as I knew we weren't moving on to two tenants on this property instead of the existing one, which I assume she would be permitted after this work is done.
That is correct.
Am I mistaken here?
No.
Okay. So if I gave her 60 days and ordered her not to have more than one tenant on that property, then that would accomplish what we're looking for and allow her time to get her contractor out there to do the work you need done so that she'll be eligible for the rental license.
Correct, yes. We'll have to inspect it once it is completed.
Okay.
That should be plenty of time.
All right. Now, is it your intent to keep the tenant that's in there now?
Actually, I want her to move out, but you take time, everything take time to looking for house, right? You know, she needs to take time. I already told her, I said, this house I have to...
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to order you, I'll give you the 60 days that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to order that you come into compliance by March 6, 2019, mm-hmm. or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Between now and the property coming into compliance, there is to be no more than one tenant on that property.
Yes,
you understand?
Yes.
There will not be two tenants. We will not be utilizing it as a duplex.
No.
I'm allowing you to keep a tenant in there while you're waiting on your contractor to bring it into compliance.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And you do understand that once it's brought into compliance, you need to contact Mr. Jones to have him inspect the property.
Yes.
And all that needs to be done before March 6th.
Okay.
All right, so you need to stay on your contractor to see to it that he gets this work done.
Yeah, I will take him out. Sometimes, you know, I cannot control, you know, contractors.
I understand.
Yeah, the project, you know,
I understand.
Project. I told him where to...
I'm sure they'll listen to you.
So it just takes time to, but I respond always positive way if you said a violation. For me, I didn't know this. If I know, I won't buy this. I didn't know that's a violation.
Bring it into compliance. Bring it into compliance.
Yes, I
that's all you need to do.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kukowski,
we
do have one other respondent.
Okay. Case number 19. Good morning.
Ashley McCall.
Can you say,
speaking
the microphone?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Kroll. Raise your right hand.
I'm sorry, your last name one more time?
Kroll.
Crone?
Kroll.
Kroll.
K-R-O-L-L.
Okay. All right, case number 19. This is a case that was actually continued from our December meeting to today for the purpose of determining a compliance date. Have you all had any communication with one another to arrive at a compliance date?
We've had communications, but I don't believe we're anywhere close to a compliance date to be set.
All right, why is that?
Ms. Kroll still needs to submit for the variance, and I don't know how long that process will be if she is granted it.
Why haven't we applied for the variance already?
I followed the requirements, and I only have to submit the variance.
You only have to what now?
To submit. I made the requirements. I have the survey done and all the requirements. I only have to show and submit.
Okay. And when do you plan on doing that?
And then I finish here, or I can do it
okay.
now.
Okay. And do you have any idea when your variance request will be heard?
I don't know about that. I don't have experience with that.
Can anybody tell us if she submits a variance application today, what agenda she would be on? Does anybody here have any idea?
I believe it's Samson's looking. I believe it's the fourth Thursday is the when the Board of Adjustment meets. I don't know what their cutoff deadline for application. They would need application time with the application time to send notification to the neighbors. So it's probably 10 days to 2 weeks out from that meeting date.
And can someone refresh my memory? What's the purpose of the variance?
This is a single-family home that was made into three apartments in the front and two apartments in the back. None of it was done with permits. There was a permit issued back in 2009, and it was never finalized. They had one inspection for framing. There's nothing that they have in the records that it was approved for multi-use. So that's where we're at. This was started as a rental inspection. They applied for two licenses, one for each building, but there were three units in the front, two which were occupied, and two units in the back.
So is she looking for leave to have five units there on this property?
That is my understanding.
Okay.
Ms. McCallage, if I could just clarify one thing, Ms. Hampton did fine. The Board of Adjustment meets on the third Thursday, so they've already canceled this month's meeting because they didn't have timely applicants, and so the next meeting would be on February 21st, and she'll just have to timely apply if she intends on being heard. If indeed it meets the criteria even for a variance.
So, Mr. Jones, let's assume she is denied her variance. How long would it take the respondent to come into compliance? You're talking to me about, two structures with five units in it now that now to be converted back to a single-family home?
Correct. Each unit could be a single family unit. They'd have to be converted back. The kitchens would have to be taken out and brought back into just a single family home. I'm not sure what all permit requirements would be needed.
So she'd go from five to two?
Correct. And I believe four are occupied at this time?
Well, if she were of a mind then to convert these five units down to the two units, how much time would that take?
I would believe it could be done within 60 days, but I do not know. I have not been inside some of the units, so I can't definitively speak to that. I assume it will require some licensed contractors only because if you're modifying electrical plumbing, that there may be some licensed contractors. I don't know if she'll require a building permit to bring it back. It would need to be reviewed by the building department.
All right, I'm going to continue this matter to our February 12 meeting for another progress report. And if you're not on an agenda for a variance at the next meeting, then I'm going to give you 30 days to come into compliance.
Yes, sir.
So if it's your intent to pursue this variance, you need to do so.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to find out 30 or 60 days from now we've done nothing except buy another 30 or 60 days without a resolution on this property.
I understand.
So I will continue this matter once again to our February 12, 2019 meeting for a progress report. Hopefully at that point in time, you will tell me where you are on your variance request and when you expect it to be heard. And then with that information, we might be able to pick a compliance date. If we meet on February 12th and we've made no more progress than where we are right now, I'm not going to worry about the variance anymore. I'm just going to pick a compliance date.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. I believe we now go back to number 16. Aya Real Vest, LLC, Fadwa Najdi, sole member. Okay, anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Ms. McKelter, as you can see, number 16, number 17, and number 18 are the same respondent. The inspector is Mark Jones. In each of those cases, there's a requirement they fail to have a rental license. And Mr. Jones is requesting that a fine be imposed. This was he was first notified in October. They were first notified in October. His last contact with them was in November. He hasn't heard anything since. He talked to someone this morning, but they haven't done anything towards coming in with the compliance. He's requesting $100 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000 in each of these cases, and I will attend to Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, what's the word on this respondent?
We did our original inspection on back on August 28th. The property manager then scheduled a re-inspection on November 6th. We went there and nothing had been done. There was no changes to any three of the properties. I did hear from the property manager this morning, and we have a re-inspection scheduled for the 10th. But I have no idea whether they will be in any different condition than they were the last time.
And what's the city looking for, a fine?
Yes, a fine of $100 a day with a cap of 15 for all three cases.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, noting the absence of the respondent, I'm fining the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing January 3, 2019, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. With regard to case number 17, this is, again, 415 North Halifax Avenue, unit number 111. Again, based on our inspector's presentation, and noting the absence of a respondent, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $100 per day, commencing January 3, 2019, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. With regard to case number 18, 415 North Halifax Avenue, unit number 110, again, based on the report of our inspector, noting the absence of a respondent, I'm ordering the respondent to pay the sum of $100 per day, commencing January 3, 2019, and the fine will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Case number 20, Tambra N. Davis, trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Ms. McKelty, the inspecting this case is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that this property is here before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. Fitzgerald is requesting that this case be amended to the next cutoff. I will attend to Mr. Fitzgerald so he can explain further.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mike Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Inspector. My credentials are on file with the city. The property is undergoing a complete rehabilitation, and you'll be able to see from the photographs they're doing a whole new roof. They're doing a lot of building, so they're going above and beyond. It's taking a lot longer than we thought. They're putting all the new windows in. It's going to be a nice looking house when it's done. They'll just need more time.
All right. And what are you proposing?
Come back in 60 days for a progress report.
For a progress report. All right. Based on the report of our inspector, I will continue.
I don't know how long, much longer they're going to be. It looks pretty close, but they got to get the CO. That's what it looked like before. Well, the new roof is on, and the windows are in.
Okay, so provide us for our next call.
Okay. I mean, we can try again next month. Next cutoff. Compliance by next cutoff.
All right. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until February 6, 2019 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 21, Promo 5 LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Ms. Fakaja, this is before you for a progress report. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald, and I would have to attend to Mr. Fitzgerald for the report.
Good morning, Mike Fitzgerald with the City of Daytona Beach. I talked to him this morning. He's hired the contractor. They have to build a porch right there across the front, so they're working with an engineer to do those drawings. He thinks the drawings will take about 30 days.
Okay.
And I guess we'll know maybe more progress report next month.
So we're satisfied with the effort.
Yes, sir. And no one's living in it. It's empty. So, and he's going to keep it empty until it's done.
I believe at this point, Mr. Kelcher, we don't have a compliance date. I guess in this circumstance, it's a lot of work still to go.
Okay.
And so you had continued it for determination, and I guess we're asking that we continue still on the determination of compliance date and as we...
Well, we had an order telling him to come into compliance by December 11th. No, December 5th.
But then we changed that.
Yeah, we changed it because they came in, they're hiring the contractor, they put a roof on.
Okay. Yeah, it appears that the... what I'm looking at...
You're looking at a continuation order that I need to correct.
I'm told that the order was an order needed to be corrected. Right. So at this point, do we have a compliance date?
We do.
We had one. December 5th.
Right. Okay. So we're amending on the, or we're continuing the imposition of a fine. I understand.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. We giving them 30 days or 60 days? That's all I need to know.
30 days for a report to see if the engineering is done.
Yes. Inspector's asking 30 days for to come back or to give another progress on whether or not the engineering is complete.
Do you guys see that door up there? He has to build a porch across it. That's a big engineering.
All right, I will go ahead and continue any further rulings on this matter to our February 12, 2019 meeting, subject to a progress report, and I don't care who gives it to me. And at that time, we will consider amending our current order of noncompliance, which has long since expired. Okay?
Okay.
So, progress report on this one on February 12th. Case number 25, Daytona 54, LLC. $200 North Ridgewood Avenue. We actually have two cases, one for pothole, trash, and debris, one for dirt and grime, peeling paint on exterior wall.
Mr. Couch, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Danny Garcia. This case has been, they were first notified in October of 2018. As we know, this is a major corridor of the city and Ridgewood. And we've dealt with problems on this property before, though not with the specific owner. However, they've had since October, and they are not in compliance. They have not taken care of the matter at all. And the inspector's requesting a $500 day fine to a maximum of $25,000. And I would tender Mr. Garcia.
Pothole, trash, and debris. They won't haul out the pot. They won't fix the pothole and haul out the trash and debris?
That's correct. Good morning, Inspector Garcia. Credentials are on file with the City of Daytona Beach. This has been an ongoing problem. I've spoken to management, assistant management. I've been on the property several times. The only thing they've done is put covers on those that I had cited them for previously. But as for the trash and debris, it's been an ongoing thing where they just cannot maintain it. The dumpsters let them overflow. They go all around. They just recently cut this grass. And what they did is they went right over the trash. They just cut it, and it's scattered all over the property, the grass, the parking lot, and so on. The pothole is at the oncoming ramp off of Seagrave in the rear. And it's getting huger, bigger, bigger, and bigger. And the problem is that when it rains, it fills up, and it looks like it's a smooth surface, and cars go over it, and they get damaged, including police cars.
Very well.
No, I'm sorry. Would you go ahead and acknowledge your communication contact?
I just recently this morning had gotten in touch with an attorney in Miami who states that he has been hired to represent the owner, which is an elderly man out of California. But I asked him to send me an email that I can present to you, and I have not gotten that this morning. So, but he says that they have a contract with getting a painting company to paint it, but nothing yet.
All right. I will fine the respondent a sum of $500 per day, commencing January 3, 2019, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $25,000. Case number 26, Daytona 54, LLC, 200 North Ridgewood Avenue. Dirt and grime, peeling paint on exterior wall. What say the city?
This is going to be non-compliance next cutoff. I have not gotten any contact with the owners or tenants, anybody. I don't even know if it's vacant or if it's if anybody's residing in it. It's just...
Residing in what?
Oh, I'm sorry. 26.
I'm still on 200 North Ridgewood.
Yeah, that's same issue with the last one we just said at. It's non-compliance next cutoff.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 27, J. Louise Gates and Jeffrey Michael Gates.
Yeah.
Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
This is the one that I have no contact with the owner or tenants. Unknown if anybody's residing in it, or but it still remains the same. It's faded paint, and the lamppost on the right of the door is it's unsecured. It's just hanging there. And I actually did a posting on that.
Pardon?
I actually did a posting on it for the notice of hearing.
And we haven't heard from the owners?
No. No, sir.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, noting the absence of a respondent, also taking into consideration the photographs of the property, I find the respondent in noncompliance. How long to come into compliance?
By next cutoff, sir.
And I will order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 29, April Ann Leary, 1057 North Street.
But Kelsey, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property remains in non-compliance. I tend to Mr. Fitzgerald.
All right, Mr. Fitzgerald, what can you tell me about 1057 North Street? Or do the photographs do it all?
The photographs will tell you everything. It was hit by a tree during one of the hurricanes, and it's a dilapidated structure.
Any communication with the owner?
We have, and they're working on getting it demolition done with the city.
Okay. All right. Based on the report of our inspector, noting the absence of the respondent, taking into consideration the photographs of the property, I find it to be in non-compliance. How much time to come into compliance?
We'll ask for next cutoff, Mr. Bukelja. Hopefully it'll be demolished by then and taken care of through our demolition program.
I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 34. IH Borrower, LP. with regard to 112 Loganberry Court, failure to obtain rental license. Is there anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, Inspector Mark Jones, Mr. Jones reports this is non-compliance next cutoff, still pending the need for rental inspection.
Nice looking house. What's the problem?
The original inspection was back in August. And this goes for the next three projects also, next three cases. We heard no comments from the property owner, very minor issues, you know, screens, windows, nothing of major issues. And we sent them a notice of violation out on November. They signed for the notice of violation, but I've had no contact with the owner at all.
Okay.
And the properties, all four of them are occupied.
Occupied. All right. I find the response, based on our inspector's report, noting the absence of a respondent, I find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 35, IH Borrower LP, regarding 133 Hagee Drive. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city? Same as the last?
Mark Jones, and he says the same as last. Same one also.
All right, again, based on the report of our inspector noting the absence of a respondent, I find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 36, IH Borrower LP, 257 Perfect Drive. What say the, noting the absence of the respondent, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 37, IH Borrower LP, 128 Opal Hill Circle. Based on our inspector's report and noting the absence of a respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Which brings us to case 40.
Hold on. Case number 38, the compliance date needs to be corrected to 1-7-2019
and 315-2019. Okay. Case number 40, Sal and Nellie Anino, 309 North Oleander Avenue. What say the city?
Well, Mr. McKelvey, the inspector, Mark Jones, and Mr. Jones reports that the respondents failed a rental inspection on January 7th. Very minor things that need to be taken care of. We expect they can be in compliance by next cutoff, but they're currently non-compliance. We expect next cutoff for them to be in compliance.
Based on the city's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I believe that concludes all the matters on the agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
I cannot think of anything, sir.
We're all good. That having been said, we're adjourned. 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 We're adjourned.